Hey, this is Pastor Bill bringing you News in Focus. It's been a while since I've just sat down here at the mic and talked, maybe a couple weeks. But I saw such a good news piece that I wanted to share with you, and here's the reality. I needed this. This was a good reminder to me of some of my some of the things I had been overlooking. It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't purposeful, but I had been overlooking in my disposition, and thankfully I've been a little reserved in how I feel about certain candidates. So without further ado, let's get into this piece by the American Family Association by Brian Fisher, posted this past Monday. Evangelicals and Trump's three wives. One of the remarkable things about the current race for the presidency is the virtually complete absence of any discussion of Donald Trump's troubled marital history by social conservatives in evaluating his fitness for office. It's one thing when a political figure is divorced by his wife. It may not be something he can prevent, as was the case in Ronald Reagan's first marriage to actress Jane Wyman. It's a different thing when the candidate himself initiates the dissolution of a marriage. When he returned from Vietnam, John McCain left his first wife. She had been injured in a car wreck while he was gone and had gained weight. He dumped her for his current wife, who is beautiful and elegant by contrast. This became an issue in the 2008 race, and McCain admitted to the nation during Rick Warren's presidential forum that the termination of his first marriage represented the single, quote, greatest moral failure, unquote, of his life. Newt Gingrich's checkered marital past was also an issue. I remember this personally, says Bill Sturm. Back to the article. I was among any number of social conservatives who could simply not support Mr. Gingrich in 2012 for this reason alone, particularly when there were acceptable conservative alternatives who had exemplary personal lives. As I told Michael Isikoff of NBC News at that time, quote, the problem with Mr. Gingrich is not once, but twice he has violated that solemn and sacred oath, and that's why it's a showstopper for me, unquote. And yet the flamboyant Mr. Trump has thus far escaped any genuine probing on this matter. He is famously on his third marriage, married to a glamorous woman who has done nude, lesbian-themed photo shoots in the past. While Trump is quite rightly making an issue of Bill Clinton's randy sexual past, and Hillary's role in enabling his career as a serial sexual abuser, he himself has so far been left unchallenged and unscathed. Unlike Mr. McCain, Trump seems adamant that he has done nothing to apologize for. When asked last summer if he'd ever asked God for forgiveness for anything, he replied, I'm not sure that I have. Now, let me just cut in here and say, I mentioned this very interview during our men's conference message. You might check that out on a different series, but I mentioned the fact that Mr. Donald Trump says that he has not apologized to God for anything. Back to the article. We can readily stipulate that for most voters, Trump's domestic history may not matter. Quote, everybody makes mistakes, who am I to judge, unquote, etc., etc. But evangelicals cannot afford to be so cavalier when it comes to evaluating a man's fitness to hold the highest office in the land. At some point, we social conservatives must look squarely at Mr. Trump's personal history and decide how much weight we should attach to it. Yesterday on Meet the Press, Trump was asked about those who might scrutinize his marital past as he has scrutinized Bill and Hillary's past. He told Chuck Todd that, quote, it's fine, unquote. With that permission slip in hand from Mr. Trump himself, I offer some facts and observations. Trump's divorce from his first wife, Ivana, was tabloid fodder for years because it involved a long affair between Trump and Marla Maples, who eventually became his second wife. While still married to his first wife, Trump put Miss Maples up in a suite at Trump Regency, where together they would dominate the social scene in Atlantic City. Meanwhile, the Trump children were devastated, as all children are in circumstances, by the attention given to their father's affair with Miss Maples and by front-page coverage of their parents' separation and impending divorce. Donald was utterly unapologetic about abandoning his first wife. He admitted that he was the one who left and that he did it because of his sexual infatuation with Miss Maples, using a vulgar expression I cannot repeat on a family-friendly website. All this was happening in the early 90s, at the very same time news started to dribble out about Bill Clinton's sleazy sexual escapades. Trump's excuse for his behavior and his explanation for why people should not give it serious consideration is, you know what, I wasn't president of the United States and I wasn't dealing in the Oval Office, all right? A big difference, I wasn't the president. Unquote. That's an alarmingly thin and relativistic pretext, as if some things can be sexually immoral if a president does them, but not if a businessman does them. Trump also divorced a second wife, with whom he had conceived a child out of wedlock. In 1997, just months before their prenuptial agreement would have boosted her settlement from $1 to $5 million, he made it clear at that time that he was one who ended the marriage. Marla's a good girl, Trump told a friend, but I want it out. Is all this assorted tabloid stuff? Of course it is. It would be irrelevant for anyone other than Trump and his family if he did not want to be the president of the U.S. But he is pursuing an office described in the Constitution as a position of, quote, public trust, unquote. So can the public trust Donald Trump. Should Trump's marital history matter in a presidential campaign? Absolutely. As Harry Truman observed, quote, if a man lies to his wife, he'll lie to me. If he'll break his oath of marriage, he'll break his oath of office. Wow, that's a great quote. Perhaps there will be some spiritual leader who will speak to Donald Trump with a prophetic voice today, as John the Baptist did to a politician in his day. John famously confronted Herod the Tetrarch about his unrighteous personal life and publicly rebuked him for being immorally linked to his second wife. It's not lawful for you to have her, declared evangelist John the Baptist. For his courage and boldness to confront a politician about his troubled marital history, he literally lost his head. This was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to criticize John. He could have said, well, this just shows you what happens when preachers start meddling in politics and start criticizing the sex lives of others. But he didn't. Instead, he said, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Luke 7:28. Character counts. Just ask the Cincinnati Bengals, who got bounced out of the NFL playoffs last weekend because two players with a history of impulse control problems got flagged for two penalties on the same play and gave Pittsburgh a chip shot field goal to gain a wholly improbable victory. It was amazing. Even if you don't like football, you should watch it. Even if you're like me and you are okay with football and you don't particularly care for either team that was playing, you should probably watch it. The hopes of the Bengals and the entire city of Cincinnati were crushed in the process. See the parallel. The Bible is quite explicit that leadership in the church is to be reserved for those who have demonstrated fidelity in marriage. An elder, the Apostle Paul writes, he must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. You may say, well, God is talking about the church here, not politics. That's true, but it's a clear indication that when it comes to exercising public leadership, marital history is important. In addition, three times we're told in Romans 13 that public officials are either servants of God or ministers of God. So though it is trendy to say that we are electing a president, not a pastor, the biblical truth is that we are in fact choosing ministers of God for the public square, and our standard should be high. It might be one thing if Mr. Trump was the only option conservatives have. Let me back out here and pause and say it's a lot like saying, why are we voting for a Mormon when we had several Republicans to choose from, several conservatives to choose from? But when it came down to the man we now have in office and a Mormon, I voted wholeheartedly for a Mormon. It was dark, dark chapter in America. Dark chapter. Back to the article. Virtually the entire rest of the field, including its strongest conservatives, have exemplary marriages and families. To my knowledge, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, just to give a few examples, are all above reproach in domestic matters and have not been touched by a hint of sexual scandal. The same may be well said of most, if not all, other GOP candidates. Fidelity in marriage is not impossible. Millions and millions of American men are doing it every day. Elders, pastors, are to be faithful husbands and good managers of their household to provide public examples of what marriage and family are designed to be. Marriage in America is in desperate shape. I've done a podcast in the last 3 or 4 years that the problem with marriage is not the same-sex marriage debate. It is heterosexual marriage infidelity. Okay. Only 51% of today's adults are in married relationships compared to 72% 40 years ago, 45 years ago. I guess it's 55 years ago, 1960. So 51% from 72% in 1960. We are in desperate need of a president who models for the nation a healthy, satisfying, lasting marriage. A good example in the White House raises the standard for the entire country. A bad example corrodes it. Bill Clinton, for example, convinced America's youth that oral sex isn't sex. Consequently, an epidemic of orally transmitted STDs affecting the mouth, neck, and head swept across the land and devastated the sexual health of an entire generation. I must cut in here for just a moment and say I don't think we can blame Bill Clinton for that. To be fair, I was graduating from high school mid-Clinton. And I did not observe that the youth around me were even talking about Bill Clinton And I honestly don't think that anyone thought that oral sex was any more or less enjoyable based on the president. Okay? I just want to be honest enough to say that I think that paragraph is misplaced. Back to the article. It's bad enough when a lack of character hurts a football team. It's another thing when it damages a nation. Many evangelicals and other social conservatives will find Donald Trump's reckless marital past to be a disqualifier for the Oval Office, and they should be. Okay, well, I've already mentioned the article over the summer about his lack of spirituality. I even posted on my own Facebook page, which doesn't mean you should have seen it. I think I might have sent in an email to the pastors here. Donald Trump being prayed over by everyone from Word of Faith Peoples to the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas pastor Jeffress, and how ridiculous it was, how out of place Trump looked, how absolutely uncomfortable he looked having people lay their hands on him and pray for him. Somehow, he became a front runner among evangelicals, and this author rightly says, "Hey, are you sure you want this man who can't keep promises in the White House? It seems like he feels like he has so much privilege that he can do what he wants." And I'll just say it, since the article didn't say it, how do you feel about having a, well, what amounts to a porn star as the first woman? Huh? Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Me too. Me too. I wish it wasn't in existence to even say it. I wish it wasn't necessary to say it. I wish it wasn't possible to say it. But I'm finding that American psyches have a way of avoiding the obvious if it seems unpleasant. And so I want to ask you to make sure, well, to revert back to Wednesday's message, part of loving your neighbor as yourself is thinking more than the next 4 years. It's thinking about, how am I affecting the neighbors coming behind me as well? Will America become a great nation if we have someone of this caliber leading it? And again, some of you are like, well, we got to put someone in. Right. And the point of the article, with the mistakes notwithstanding, the point of the article is, while we have options, let's pick a better option. This is Pastor Bill. I appreciate you listening.